This is your friend John Walden. We are continuing our studies in 2 Corinthians, and we have reached the 10th chapter. Now, so far, the Spirit of God has led Paul in the opening chapters of 2 Corinthians to briefly answer his critics. He turns soon to the gospel and the glory of Christ, and we've noticed that he is most kind and loving to his spiritual children, as he urges them to be more like Christ. Now, in the first 6 verses of this chapter, he has to face up to the critics, not to build up his reputation, but to settle the fact that his preaching was by the authority of Christ. If they reject his apostleship, they reject God's word. And so he says in 2 Corinthians 10:1, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think it to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, that is, we are in the body, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." His critics had said that he didn't look very important, and he answers that Christ was meek and gentle. They said he wasn't very bold. He asked that they not force him to be bold. They wanted carnal, worldly ways. Paul insisted on God's weapons, and that his weapons in this warfare against satanic thoughts are not carnal. We do not act as men. Too many Christians today are trying to apply business methods to Christian things. I don't mean that we as Christians ought to be unbusinesslike. I don't think that we ought to be careless and indifferent. But we must remember that we are not simply salesmen. We must remember that we are not using psychological methods to convince people or to talk people into taking sides with us or to become Christians. We must remember that when we deal with Satan, we are dealing with a power that is beyond human power, and that's why he tells us that our weapons are not carnal. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, he tells us about the defense mechanism of a believer, the defense weapons. And we have the shield of faith, and we have the sword of the Spirit, and so on. Now, today we are faced with a great trend toward doing without the Holy Spirit, working things out so that it's purely a carnal, worldly way of doing things. And Paul says by the Spirit that God's weapons in this warfare against satanic thought are just the very opposite of what most people would think of. Now, in verses 7 to 11, Paul is led to rebuke these self-righteous critics. They saw only the outward show. What really counts is belonging to Christ. And notice that he says in verse 7, "Do you look on things after the outward appearance?" Way back in the Old Testament, Samuel learned this lesson from the Lord when he was told to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king in the place of Saul. He was very impressed with the older son of Jesse, and the Lord said to him, "Don't look on the height of his stature, for he says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God seeth not as man seeth." And so he's telling us here, do you look on things after the outward appearance? And then he adds, if any man trusts to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so we are Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. These people thought that if someone was very bold and if he was important acting and important speaking, that this would be an indication that he really had authority from God. But not so. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was meek and lowly, gentle in his dealing with people, and the Apostle Paul is a true servant of his. He described what a servant of Christ ought to be like in earlier chapters of this epistle, and he is proving now that he is of this stamp. He is this kind of person. He tells us here that he had his authority from the Lord, but he wanted to use this authority to build up and not to destroy. And if these people would not be reproved by a letter, then he would have to come to them and speak to them very severely when he did come. And this is what he adds. Though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. They said his letters, verse 10, his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. I suppose that this meant that he didn't speak as good Greek as the others, or that he was not as cultured a person in appearance, or perhaps that he was small. One of the early writers said about him that though he was only 3 cubits high, he touched the sky. 3 cubits would only be 4'6". And perhaps he was a little fellow. The name Paul means little. Today, people want impressive people. They want people who are well-educated. They want people who have a flair for oratory. They want people who can display their many degrees. Now, it isn't that God puts any premium on ignorance. It's simply that true education has to be obtained in the presence of the Lord, under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And you simply cannot get these things out of books. You cannot get them in school without the help of the Holy Spirit. Now he contrasts his standards with those of his critics. Beginning with the 12th verse, he says that we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. God is not going to decide that you are an acceptable servant to be well rewarded because you compare favorably with someone else. In fact, whenever we choose to compare ourselves with others, we are very careful to choose those with whom we compare favorably. We certainly would not pick out some that would put us in a bad light. But remember that our standard is not other people, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And these people were measuring themselves among themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, and to say the least, this was not very wise. It was very foolish. They had forgotten, if they ever knew it, that God chooses where his servants shall labor, and that God had sent Paul to Corinth, and that Paul knew, and the Corinthians knew, that God had sent him there. And he had sent him with the gospel, and he had pioneered the Christian work in Corinth, and these critics had simply moved in on an easy living. There's a great deal of this going on today. There are not many who are willing to go out and carry the gospel into difficult places. Too many young men are getting out of school and then trying to find a well-established work and moving in to enjoy the benefits of the labors of those who worked hard to build up this kind of thing. And the Apostle Paul says, we will not boast of things beyond, without our measure or beyond our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. The Lord had led him all the way to Corinth, over the sea from Asia into Europe. And he said, we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, but we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Now let me remind you again that the gospel is the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is not the whole Bible. The whole Bible is true. But the word gospel means good news. And the good news is that Christ died in our place and was buried and rose again. And this is what Paul preached, and this had resulted in the Corinthians coming to know the Lord. And so he says, we are not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, and your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule, abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Someone had prayed to have paid to have the gospel sent to the Corinthians. Someone had met his expenses. Now he said, you have a responsibility to send me on to regions beyond, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Paul wanted no glory for being God's servant. Let the glory all be to the Lord. Boasting is worthless. The approval of our service must come from God. Now, if you're not saved, you can't serve God at all. And if you are a believer, you ought to be happy to honor the Lord in any way you can. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word and ask you to bless it to those who hear it just now. And we ask, Father, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name. Amen.